అఖండం సచ్చిదానందం అఖండం సచ్చిదానందం అవాంగ్ మనసగోచరం అవాంగ్ మనసగోచరం ఆత్మానం అఖిలాధారం ఆత్మానం అఖిలాధారం ఆశ్రయే భిష్ట సిద్ధయే ఆశ్రయే భిష్ట సిద్ధయే హర్షతో కిద్వయానందాన్ Okay, verse 44. అస్పష్ట ఉపాధి ప్రకాశకత్వాత్ అనతి ప్రకాశకత్వాత్ We're dealing with the term prajna, right? This individual ignorance or the jiva, for this, there's prajñatvam for this, okay? You can say for the jiva, for this jiva, prajñatvam, the state of being prajñant for this. Why is it called prajña? Prajñatvam, asya, for this jiva, prajñatvam. Aspashta upadhitaya. The upadita, the state of an upadi, and then upaditaya is in the feminine singular. Because of being an upadi which is aspashta, spashta means that which is shining, that which is clear. So we would say, you know, spashta would be that which is like pure sattva, full of tejas. Aspashta means it's not shining, it's not clear. He says for aspashta, dull. For, you see in the translation, he says a dull limiting adjunct. Limiting adjunct is a frequent translation of the word upadhi.
Mm.
Okay, so we call it, Swamiji usually translates it as a conditioning adjunct, right? Or limiting adjunct. This is what this translator is doing. But these are translations of the word upadhi. So here in the third person singular, the prajñatvam for this, by being an aspashta upadhi, an upadhi which is not shining with pure sattva. So an upadhi, he says an upadhi which is dull, an upadhi which is aspashta, not clear. That means it's contaminated with rajas and tamas, okay? So here, or actually prajna is going to be overwhelmed by tamas. So aspashta upadhi taya, an ati prakashika twa. So now reading backwards, twa. Because of being, instead of antiprakashika, something which is illuminating everywhere, very luminous, is un-antiprakasha. It is not shining. It is not illuminating anything, actually. Right? Because of being aspashta, because of being an upadhi, which is aspashta, means it's overwhelmed, I would say like this, it's overwhelmed by tamas. Because the prajna is the karana sharira. It's the causal body. So the chaitanya, consciousness, illumining the causal body is illumining pure ajnanam, where there is no manifestation, right, of the creation. So there's not a buddhi that's shining with sattva. There's a buddhi that's overwhelmed by tamas.
Sleep?
So it's, yeah, that's deep sleep, the karana sharira. So prajna is the karana sharira. So what is the name for chaitanya, for awareness, from the standpoint of the jiva, illumining the causal body, the jiva, the consciousness, illumining the causal body, is called prajna. Now, Swamiji's given an etymology, I told you this last week, of prajna, as prayena, prayena ajna. That which is, he defines it like this, that which is more prayena ajna, that which is more or less ignorance, or that which is more has more or less knowledge. It means that there's, the consciousness is there. I don't know, I'm going to have to ask you this. What the idea is that the consciousness is there, illumining ajnana, which is unmanifest. So I think that this is a really nice definition here. Asya prajna tvam aspashta upadityā, because of the upadhi not being clear, there's nothing manifest. Aspashta upadityā anyati prakashat tvam, because of not being anatiprakasha, because of not really illumining anything, because of the upadhi being aspashta, not clear, means that there's nothing manifest there. Therefore, asya prajna tvam. It's called prajna.
And that's different than just being kind of spaced out and illuminating a mind that has nothing very much going on. But
yeah, but the mind is still awake. There's still duality.
Yeah.
Here the ignorance, all there is, the whole duality is in unmanifest condition.
Okay.
Right, so there's more or less ignorance in the sense, prajna, yeah, there's more or less ignorance because consciousness, which is pure knowledge really, just pure being, is illumining an upadhi, which is in sense object in unmanifest condition. So there's nothing, it's not awake to anything at that time. The upadhi is not awake to anything. It's not functioning as a knower. It's anatiprakashita. Prakashita means illumining or knowing. It's not illumining, right? It's anatiprakashita. It's not illumining anything except for the ajnana, right? Because of the upadhi, the conditioning ajnana being aspashta. Yeah, aspashta means there's nothing manifest, there's nothing clear there, right? So he says,
I'm sorry, I have to ask you, Harry, or else I know that was. When you say that consciousness is illumining the causal body, you mean the unmanifest, like a tamas?
Well, the causal is just really when the, it's just pure, it's not tamas.
But I mean in terms of the jiva.
Yeah, in terms of just, let's not use tamas.
Okay.
Let's use objecta. When the maya upadhi is in unmanifest condition, it means the sattva, rajas, and tamas are all totally unmanifest. Unmanifest, not non-existent, unmanifest. Look at, if
okay.
Right now, let's just to again be clear on this manifest, vyakta and avyakta. If I ask you now to think of a sailboat, I'm pretty sure that nobody was thinking of a sailboat, right? The sailboat is known to you, right? But it's avyakta. So it's not manifest at all. And so there, even though there's knowledge of the sailboat is not manifest or being known at that time. So that's when Swamiji says, prayena agnya, more or less ignorant. It's not that the knowledge isn't there of the sailboat, but it's not manifest at all. So now, prajna means there is nothing manifest. It's all there, but it's in unmanifest condition. That's deep sleep. So what is the experience of deep sleep? It's just the satchit, it's really the satchit ananda. It's my own swarupa with illumining, right, and being the self of the upadhi, the mind, say, of the mind, which is asleep. Means that mind is in, there is nothing manifest in that mind. It's just in its causal condition. So now you've got the chaitanya, the atma swarupa, plus the mind in causal condition. And so even though in that mind, in the causal condition, everything is there, because when the mind wakes up, it's the same information, it's the same self-identity, the same ahankara, the same set of experiences come, in the deep sleep, it's in unmanifest condition. See that? And so now you have Chaitanya plus this more or less ignorance, because there's nothing manifest in the upadhi. That's how Swamiji does it. And so if you see here, there is prajnatvam for this. There is a state of more or less ignorance because nothing is manifest to know. Do you understand? It's more or less ignorance because nothing's manifest to be known. When it manifests, it'll be known. But in that state, you know, it's all in causal condition. So it's prayena agnya, more or less ignorance. So how does he say it? There's prajna term, this state of being a prajna for the jiva, because there is unatiprakashakatva, because it is not illuminating. It is not illuminating anything. Why? Especially upadhitya, because of the upadhi, as he says, it is dull. Or the upadhi is, it's especially, nothing is clear in it. See, like, now clear, clarity would mean vyakta, manifest. In that upadhi, there's nothing manifest. It's just in its causal condition. So it's different than, say, a nirvikalpa samadhi, where the content of the atma is shining in the mind, you know, because of the focus being on the content. The mind is awake, the focus being on the content. That would be nirvikalpa samadhi, you know, or the akhandakara vritti. Or the mind is in dream, then that is manifest, right? And so there's clarity, there's differentiation. In the waking state, there's clear differentiation, but in the deep sleep state, there isn't any differentiation, even though all of that is there in a causal condition. Right? So prayena agniha, that's what Swamiji
does. Is there a witness there? Then you call it a...
The witness is always there, but remember this term sakshi is a term that's being used to differentiate the atma, the self, from the upadhis, the drishtivivekā, the seer-seeing differentiation. So what is always left as I differentiate any of the koshas, the body and the sense organs and the mind and the buddhi and the ahankara, I differentiate all of these upadhis from the atma. As I'm doing that differentiation, the atma is called the sakshi, or the subject, in terms of that subject-object differentiation. But in the end, the sakshi resolves into the atma consciousness, which is not witnessing anything. Just like you could say, the sun is the luminary, the sun is illumining the whole world. During the day, the sun illumines everything. It's an illuminator, as though it's a doer. But then when we analyze it, the sun isn't illumining anything. Right? It's not performing any act of illuminating. It's its svarupa, is light. And because its svarupa is light, everything gets lit. Right? So here, because my svarupa, my nature, is consciousness, everything is illumined. Right? Because that's my svarupa, not that I'm performing an act of knowership or an act of illuminating. Okay. You see what I mean? So the term sakshi resolves into, because when I say witness, the word witness makes you think of witness of something as though I'm witnessing. The atma is the witness of. The atma is not the witness of anything. The atma is just pure consciousness. There's no subject-object, no knower known. But so the word sakshi is heuristic, and it's a teaching tool. And part of that teaching tool involves the resolution of the sakshi into pure consciousness when you're doing the drishya.
But you don't do that during deep sleep. That there is in deep sleep
there's no sakshi, because there's no subject-object duality for there to be a seer seeing. So the whole notion of the whole of result product of ajnanam, the ahankara, right, is not manifest in deep sleep. So in deep sleep, there's nobody saying, oh, having a wonderful deep sleep. That ahankara comes when you wake up. And you're like, oh, I slept so well last night, I didn't know anything, all that. Then the ahankara is identifying with the experience.
So you're more or less absorbed at that time.
You're absorbed into ignorance. The mind is absorbed into ignorance instead of absorbed into knowledge. It's absorbed into its own causal condition.
That's no good.
It's just what it is. Everybody see this? We're okay with this? So, repeat after me. Asya prajnatvam.
Asya prajnatvam.
Aspasyo paritaya.
Aspasyo paritaya.
An eti prakashikatvat.
An eti prakashikatvat.
So let's go to 45 then. Asya.
Asya.
Api.
Api.
Iyam.
Iyam.
So asya api iyam is asya api iyam. See that? Asya api iyam. Ahankara adi.
Ahankara adi.
So ahankara adi. Ahankara adi.
Ahankara adi.
Karanatvat.
Karanatvat.
Asyapiyam ahankaradi karanatvat. Asya apiyam ahankara adi karanatvat. Karana shariram. Ananda prachuratvat. Prachuratvat. Ananda prachuratvat.
Ananda prachuratvat.
Koshavat.
Koshavat.
Acharakatvat.
Acharakatvat.
Sha. Ananda maya koshaha.
Ananda maya koshaha.
Sarva.
Sarva.
Uparamatvat. Sushupti.
Sushupti.
Atta eva.
Atta eva.
Stula.
Stula.
Sukshma.
Sukshma.
Sharira.
Sharira.
Prapancha.
Prapancha.
Laya.
Laya.
Stanam.
Stanam.
Iti.
Iti.
Cha uchate.
Uchate.
Iti cha uchate.
Iti cha uchate.
Okay, I'm seeing some different names for the prajna. And for the asya, for this also, for this jiva, api also, asya api, asya api, iyam, this, ahankara adi karanatvat, okay? And for this all, and for this jiva also, this is karana shariram. I'm going to say this is called the karana shariram. We'll see in a minute. Do you see the karana shariram? Mm-hmm. It says ahankara adi karana twat. Ahankara adi karana twat. Because of being the cause. So karana, important word, right? Karana, cause. Karana. Because of being the cause of the ahankara, the I notion, etc. Right? Ahankara adi karanatvat. Because of being the cause, because of being the cause of the ahankara, etc., iyam this, karana shariram. I say this is called the karana sharira. This is for the jiva, this is called this agnya, this agnyanam is called, this agnyanam is called the karana sharira. Because of being the cause of the ahankara, etc. Beginning with it, the ahankara comes first. Right? And then there's the body, the mind, the sense organs, all the points of the identification, you know, starting with the ahankara, come out of the karana sharira. So because of being the cause of the ahankara, etc., karana shariram, nominative singular. Then, ananda prachuratvat. Because remember the twat is because of being permeated by ananda. Prachura, full of ananda, permeated by ananda. Ananda prachura twa. Koshavat acharika, the koshavat acharika twa cha. And because of covering, acharika means covering. And because of covering, like a kosha. Remember kosha but? Like a kosha, like a sheath. Acharika twa. And because of covering, like a sheath. We're on verse 45. And because of covering like a sheath, so koshavat acharika tvat. So because of being full, permeated with ananda, and because of covering like a sheath, remember ananda maya kosha? Because of covering like by a sheath, ananda maya kosha. It is called ananda maya kosha. So we've got two things. This prajna so far is called the karana sharira, right? And it's also called ananda maya kosha. Remember when we just went through that? Right, the five koshas, the anamaya kosha, right, goes with the stula sharira. The anandamaya kosha goes with the karana sharira. So here they just define the karana sharira as being the cause, karana sharira, because it's cause of yahankara, etc. And it's called anandamaya kosha because that kosha is primarily ananda, permeated by ananda. That's why we'll see. I slept well last night, wanting to go back in to sleep. So it's full of ananda, permeated by ananda. And it covers, There's no duality there, but there's no sense of aham brahmasmi or, that I am the whole. And so I'm as though that ajnana is though covering me like a sheet.
But you sure love to go back to sleep, though.
That's right.
Well, right, and that's still a subtle cover then.
As though a cover because...
As though a cover.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Deep sleep isn't the same as self-knowledge. Right,
that's very clear. No, thank you. I never saw that.
Yeah. So then it says, ananda maya kosha. Now the third one. Sarva uparamatvat sushuptihi. Because of being the uparama. Uparama means the place of resolution. The resolution of everything. Right? Because everything goes into cessation. There's the cessation of everything, the resolution of everything. Sarva uparamatva. Sushupti. Sushupti means deep sleep. It's called sushupti. Prajna, the state of sushupti is deep sleep, right? Is that state of deep sleep, because everything resolves in deep sleep, This prajna is called sushupti. It's also called ananda maya kosha because it covers like a kosha. It's primarily ananda, right? It's filled with ananda. It's called karana sharira. Why? Because everything is the cause for all of the ahankara, etc. So now we've got karana sharira for prajna, karana sharira. It's the ananda maya kosha and it's the shukti, deep sleep. Atta eva, and therefore alone, stula, sukshma, sharira prapancha layasthanam iti cha uchate. That and uchate, and it is called, right? Stula means physical, the physical world. Sukshma, subtle. So stula, sukshma, sharira prapancha. So prapancha means that which has been manifest in the terms of the creation. The subtle and physical, the stula, the physical and subtle sharira, physical body. Prapancha laya sthanam. Sthanam means that place of laya, of resolution, of the prapancha, of the manifestation, of the stula and sukshma sharira. Prapancha means that which has become fivefold, so that which has become manifest. So, it is the sthanam, the place of laya, resolution, for the stula sukshma sharira prapancha.
That's why we like it.
So I'm going to read, you just follow the Sanskrit, then we're going to read it together. But first follow, if you can, I want you to know if there's words here that you need to remember. So, asya api iyam ahankaradi karana tvat karana shariram. Ananda Pracharitvat, Pracharitvat, Koshavat, Acharikatvat, Cha, Ananda Maya Koshaha. Sarva Uparamatvat, Sushuptihi. Asa Eva, Stula, Sukshma, Sharira, Prapancha Layasthana, Hiticha Uchate. So, and this is called, these, all of these things, right? What is called all of these things? The prajna, right? Ajnana. The prajna has all of these different terms. Is everybody using this book? Mm-hmm. One thing that might help you also is when we read this, well, if you study this on your own, like you can go and see how he's translating it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like here he says, he starts with the individual ignorance associated with it is also known. Okay. So what does that mean? Asya, for this also. This also for this. Asya api iyam, this also for this. And so he's adding here what is also for this. We're talking about the problem of individual ignorance. Of the jiva. Asya means this. Of the jiva. So asya of the jiva, also api iyam, this. This what? The individual ignorance. Okay. It is uchate. He says is known. Really says it is said to be. It is called. What is it called? Aham karadi karana swat karana shariram. How do you say that? It is known as the causal body karana shariram on account of its being the cause of egoism, etc. What is that? Aham karadi karana swat, because of being the cause of the ahankara, etc. Okay. Then it says, and as the blissful sheath, because it is full of bliss and covers like a sheath. What is that? Ananda prachuritvat, because of being full of bliss, full of ananda. You have to know what they mean. You know, because of being full of ananda, permeated by ananda. Koshavat acharikatvatcha, and because of acharikatvat, because of covering, koshavat, like a kosha. Okay? Then what? Anandamaya Kosha. It's called the Anandamaya Kosha. It's called the blissful sheath. It is further known as dreamless sleep, since into it everything is dissolved. Where is that? Sarva Uparamatvat, because of being the Uparama, the resolution of everything. And he says where everything is dissolved, that's fine. Everything goes into a state of resolution. Sarva is everything, all. Uparamatvat, because of being the state of resolution, it is sushupti. Sushupti is dreamless sleep, as opposed to swapna, which is dream, right? Swapna is dreaming, sushupti, dreamless sleep. Jagrat is waking. Jagrat, waking state. Swapna, dream state. Sushupti, dreamless state. Dreamless sleep, okay? Deep sleep, we call it, okay? Then what does it say? And for this reason, it is also designated as the state of dissolution of the gross and subtle phenomena. Okay? The state of dissolution is layasthanam. Sthanam means the state or the place, the sthanam, the place where something happens is the sthanam.
Dissolution or resolution?
I'm saying resolution. He says dissolution, but you have to understand what it means. It goes into avyakta, unmanifest condition. So it's fine. Layasthana of the prapancha, he's using for prapancha phenomena. He means all everything the manifestation, that's fine. Of what? The stula and sukshma sharira, the manifestation of the physical and subtle body. Because in deep sleep, the physical and the subtle body, the waking state and the waker and the dreamer are not manifest. Right? They're in avyakta, they're in an unmanifest condition. That's why there's no ahankara. There's nobody commenting on the state. There's no experience of dreaming. There's no experience of waking. So So the waking state and the waker, the dreaming, the dream state and the dreamer are all avyakta. That's the layasthanam. Avyakta means unmanifest. Avyakta means layasthanam, the place of dissolution.
And what happens to the ahankara at that time?
It's in a resolved condition. It's not manifest. It's unmanifest condition. If you say dissolution, that's all right, as long as you know it can become the opposite of dissolution.
Reignited.
It can be so dissolution is a little funny of a word. Just unmanifest is better. It goes into unmanifest.
Yeah,
it goes resolves into its unmanifest condition. That's what's happening. It goes into its unmanifest condition, which means it's there, but in unmanifest form. That's why you say more, it's interesting when Swamiji does this. I haven't seen this prajñāna agnihā that Swamiji uses for prajñāna. But to understand it, it's really very nice because everything is known still, but it is known, it's in unmanifest condition. So it's not differentiated. So it's more or less known, it's there in its causal state. It's not, it hasn't gone away. But it's in its unmanifest objective condition. So
and is there any difference for Ajnani and Ajnani at that time?
No. Nope. There's no difference. Okay. There's no differentiation at all between any jiva. It's caught in the sharira.
Can I say so odd to associate Anandamaya Kosha with Sushupti, you know, because the rest of it can move from gross to subtle to more and more and more knowledge. And then finally come to a state of complete unmanifest, you know, there is no...
So it's as close as you can get in a way to the Ananda Swarupa.
It's complete ignorance.
Yeah, because there's no differentiation. There's no agitation. That's why people like to go to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because in deep sleep... Just think of what's happening. In deep sleep, you're just blotting out all experience, and people like that. That's why you don't really think about it like that, but when you're in deep sleep, all is well with me. He'll get into that later, you know?
It also seems like it should be in there because the samadhi or something that is closer to, you know, that should be represented by the Ayanandamaya Kosha, you know? As much knowledge as possible as opposed to complete ignorance.
Yeah, but that's an awake state, right?
Right.
So that's the difference. One is pure ignorance, right? But in that pure state of pure ignorance, like Swamiji will joke sometimes and say, pure ignorance is bliss. Because we use that statement, right? Pure ignorance is bliss because you have nothing getting in the way. There's no anyasa. There's no superimposition being caused by that ignorance. There's no duality. And so just the Ananda Swarupa illumining pure jnana. So there's nothing known, you know, but there's nothing that's agitating either.
But why isn't that as good as moksha? It isn't praised like that.
Well, it's not praised like that because it's pure jnana. It's not pure knowledge. It's pure jnana. And you come back from the jnana with the same old ignorance that you went into.
Right.
But also, even in the deep sleep, that I don't know anything without the words, you know, is a pleasurable condition. It's not a negative condition, right? But it's also not...
It's not brilliant.
It's aspashta.
Aspashta?
Aspashta.
Oh my God.
What was it?
Ajasa? Ajasa means superposition. Yeah.
Because it isn't as satisfying as being awake and tuned in to your nature.
I think you're not looking for satisfaction there.
In deep sleep, at the time of deep sleep, there's not an experience of duality because there's no subject object. There's no experience of duality. Because there's no one saying, I am sleeping.
Right. Yeah.
So there's no subject object relationship at that time.
It's pure. It's pure ignorance.
It's pure ignorance. The mind is in unmanifest condition. It's avyakta. It's in its causal condition. Right? That's why it's called karana sharira. It's in its causal condition, and that's why the same ignorant mind that went to sleep wakes up. The identifications that you have before you went to sleep, you wake up with those. Right?
Yeah.
But at the time of deep sleep, there's no there's no activity, there's no subject object, there's no worry, there's no anything. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's
and
no problems.
There's no problems. And your Swarupa, by its very nature, is full and complete. So you have the full completeness of the Swarupa with a mind that is in pure ignorance, no comment. You know? No comment, no bother. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's going on, but nevertheless, when the alarm goes off, and Swamiji will go into great detail about this, you know, when the alarm goes off, you want to just push it down and just, you know, go into that wholeness for a little while longer. Or I'll go into great detail about how you can, you know, fix up your bed with nice pillows and comforters and snuggle up and snuggle in and just can't wait to blot out the whole universe.
Yeah,
so you can just be. So you can just be without any experience of duality, but we don't think about it. We don't think about that. Oh, I'm going to blot out duality so I can just be with myself. But actually, that is what you're doing, and it's very important for you to rejuvenate yourself in that way, to just go be with yourself, even though you don't know that. That's what you're doing.
It's good business.
Yeah. Good business.
Sells.
But it seems like with knowledge, it's a greater flying out, or there's something more positive about it.
Yeah, because there's no ignorance. With knowledge, there's no ignorance, so there's nothing covering or dimming. There's recognition. So the antikaran is in a totally different condition.
Yeah, then you illuminate the...
There is no ignorance there. At the time of knowledge, there's no self-ignorance. There's no causal condition. And it's at that time the mind has a jnana vritti, which means that the truth of the vritti is recognized. The vritti recognizes its own truth. Right?
And that's not
so. Anonymous is removed at that time.
Mm-hmm. So you miss out on that recognition when you're asleep. I mean,
right. There's no subject object, nothing at that time. Let me just run through some terms here so that you make sure that you get that you learn these terms. Maybe I'll also make a handout for them, but I'll just give them to you now, and then I'll make that handout just so that you remember them. We've got five koshas. Well, we did this a little bit already. We have five koshas, three shariras. We'll start with that. Okay. The five koshas are, right, anamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha. The three shariras are stula sharira, physical body, sukshma sharira, subtle body, karana sharira, causal body. The five koshas are related to the three shariras. The anamaya kosha, the food sheet, is the stula sharira, the physical body. The pranamaya kosha, the vital force, the mental sheath, the intellect, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, makes up the sukshma sharira, the subtle body. So those three koshas form the subtle body. The anandamaya kosha is the karana sharira. Okay? The anandamaya kosha, the bliss sheath, Vajras, I don't know how to translate it, the anandamaya kosha, is the causal body. So we have these three. These five that are related to these three. Okay? So now let's look at these three in terms of how they are labeled in the Mandukya Upanishad. We're going to look at how the Stula Sharira, Sukshma Sharira, and Karana Sharira are labeled in terms of identification. For Ishwara, the Stula Sharira is called Virat, lingual term, Virat. the Sukshma Sharira is called Hiranyagarbha. The Karana Sharira is called Ishwara. Ishwara is the name for just Brahman plus Maya, the Maya Upadhi. Really, in the Mandukya, they don't label it, they just take it as Ishwara.
You're saying Karana, not Karma.
Karana. Karana Sharira. Causal body. It's like saying that the Brahman plus the Sameshti Stula Sharira is called Virat. Brahman plus the Sameshti Sukshma Sharira is called Hiranyagarbha.
Mm-hmm.
Brahman plus the Karana Sharira is called Ishwara. Brahman plus Maya, right? The Maya Upadhi is called Ishwara.
Oh, but I thought Ishwara was Virat and
Hiranya. Can I finish this? Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Ishwara. Terminology in reference to the three shariras. Okay? Just to answer you.
Okay.
The Karana Sharira is responsible for the Sukshma and Stula Sharira. Without the Karana Sharira, there is no Sukshma and Stula Sharira.
Yeah, there's the answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the Vyashti Upadhi. The Vyashti, for the names of the Vyashti, the individual Shariras, Brahman or Atma, plus the Vyashti Stula Sharira is called Vishwa. Vishwa. Atma, or Brahman, Atma, which is the Brahma-Atma, with the Sukshma Sharira, is called Tajasa.
Which one is that now?
For the Sukshma Sharira, the Brahma-Atma,
okay.
Plus the Sukshma Sharira, with, in reference to the Sukshma Sharira, is called Tajasa. Then, the Brahma-Atma, in reference to the Karana Sharira, is called Prajna. I think there's also Vaishvanara for the Vishwara, Vaishvanara for the Stula Sharira. So let's go like this. I'm going to now look at it. I'm going to do the Sharira, then I'm going to do Ishwara, the Ishwara, name for Ishwara, and name for Jiva. So, Stula Sharira is Virat and Vishwa, or Vaishvanara. Okay. Vishwa. Sukshma Sharira is Hiranyagarbha, Tajasa. Okay. Karana Sharira, Ishwara, Prajna. Okay. Then you get, again, if we're just looking at the Shariras, Stula, Sukshma, and Karana, we have to relate the five koshas to them. Just so that you know what the koshas are, where to put those koshas. These are all used for teaching methodologies. We use the five koshas really to do the drip-trisha viveka, to differentiate the atma from the kosha. We also differentiate the atma from the sharira. So just different. We use these for this viveka, right? So, what does the anamaya kosha refer to?
Physical.
Stula sharira. What does the pranamaya kosha refer to?
Sukshma.
Manamaya. Vijnanamaya. Sukshma. Anandamaya.
Karana.
Karana.
Why does that do there? Why does the anandamaya Buddha
go to the Karana Sharira?
Yeah.
Because the Karana Sharira is just that, is that when the Stula and Sukshma Sharira resolve, they're in pure ignorance, which is predominantly ananda.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay for everybody?
Thank you. Yeah.
You're not going to test us, are you?
No, I'm just trying to help you learn your vocabulary.
The vocabulary of the jiva, the three bodies,
mm-hmm.
seems to me that wasn't used very much in the teaching.
It's used only when you get to the Mandukya Upanishad, but since even in the, I noticed in his footnotes here, if you're reading this little book, he's referring to them, and so...
Okay.
I'm just bringing them up.
Okay.
Also, and he's using Prajna in some of these terms here.
Yeah, because maybe that's why they're kind of unfamiliar to me. They're only used in that one Upanishad, huh?
Can you say something about the Vijnana Maya Kosha?
It's just buddhi. As a
buddhi.
The buddhi. And the ahankara can be associated with that also.
Okay. You know, you said the karana sharira is really the one that is responsible for the manifestation of sukshma and stula, which makes sense in terms of Ishvara versus Hiranyagarbha and Virat. It makes less sense in terms of...
Yeah, but what we're going to find out really is that the causal body is the same for Ishvara and Jiva because there's no duality there. Right, so it's the karana sharira is that because of which the whole universe is manifest. But then from the standpoint of the jiva, you've got the ahankara, and when you look at it subjectively, you know, as ignorance, what is the effect of that manifestation?
Oh, because of ignorance that, I see.
All those problems are there.
Because of ignorance that ahankara is there and stula sharira is there.
Yeah, the sutra and stula shariras are there. It's part of that total manifestation. But then there's an effect of that, which is the ahankara. Right, which causes the adhyasa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the source of the causal body? Is that ignorance?
Maya. The Maya Upadhi from the standpoint of Ishvara is the Maya Upadhi. But from the standpoint of the jiva, it's like jnanam. So we can call Maya can be called avidya and ajnanam also.
Okay.
And depending on the context, if you're using ajnanam, you can be using it as the Maya Upadhi. We usually just use Maya.
So in a way, the source of the world, the universe, is ignorance. And is that
if you understand ignorance, as we'll see when we go a little farther into this, that ignorance has a twofold power, vikshepa and avarna.
Okay.
And so when we're just looking at the vikshepa capacity, so we don't think of ignorance, just when we think of ignorance and we use it in our language, in English, you think of ignorance as not knowing something.
Yeah.
We don't think of ajnana as having a twofold shakti, vikshepa and avarna. So when you think of ajnana like that, when we're just looking at the vikshepa shakti, then we can call it maya. When we're focusing on the avarna, the covering, we call it ajnana. But we're talking about the same thing. That's why ajnana or avidya can be used for Maya, because we're talking about this creative capacity.
Okay.
So when we
that has this twofold shakti.
When we talk of Maya, can we equate it with Ishvara alone, or should we equate it with Ishvara and Hiranyagarbha and Virat?
No, the Maya you can just equate with Ishvara, because the Maya is what projects.
Right.
And when it projects, you have Hiranyagarbha and Virat. Because you're looking at from the physical standpoint of the creation, or you're looking at Ishvara from the subtle standpoint of the creation, you know, it's still Ishvara, right?
So, but Maya is more causal, it's related more to the causal body.
That's right, Maya
is
the causal.
Right.
The result of that.
That's right, the manifestation of it.
But Krishna was just talking about Maya Yoga. Yoga Maya. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That Yoga Maya means the Maya with the three gunas is what totally covers the jiva, so that the jiva doesn't know me, is what he says. The jiva doesn't know me as ajam and a victim, you know, as free from ajam and avyayam, as free from birth, free from death. The jiva doesn't know me because of being samavritaha, totally covered by my yoga maya.
And then with knowledge, the yoga maya is still there, but you see it as...
It's nitya, because you've differentiated the satchit from the from the manifestation of names and forms.
So with that understanding, we can be walking around realizing that this is a projection and it's Ishwara. Is that?
It's not a subjective projection, but it's Ishwara. It's not your subjective projection.
Yeah, right.
But it's Maya. It's Brahman.
Right. Okay.
Yes. With the manifestation of knowledge. Sit there for. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamidashyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.